Live from the state capitol with Fred Dicker here on Talk 1300.
The state capitol, I'm sure a lot of people have been following this case. It's gotten big play in the New York Times involving a kind of gentleman farmer, but he's a very serious farmer up in the Adirondacks in Essex County with a 1,200-acre, I think it is, organic farm up there, beautiful property. That you have to check out the website to see the Lewis family farm. It's just a spectacular place up on the Adirondacks. And you can go to, there's a website, Lewis Family Farm, Inc., or is the name of the farm, and it's Lewis Family Farm, Inc. versus the APA that I'm looking at right now. I'm just trying to see the name. We'll get it from Sandy Lewis himself. Sandy Lewis is a very interesting figure. His father was a very important figure on Wall Street for many, many years, one of the really the kind of founders of Bear Stearns, the creator of the now defunct, but at one time very, very famous Wall Street investment firm, Bear Stearns. And Sandy Lewis followed in his family tradition, was very much involved in Wall Street, was a very sophisticated trader who got in some trouble in an effort, from what I read, to try to challenge insider trading that was going on. He did some of it on his own and wound up being charged by Rudy Giuliani when Giuliani was the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. He eventually pled guilty. He didn't serve any jail time to two or three securities fraud violations or security violations, and President Bill Clinton in his final days pardoned Sandy Lewis and expunged the conviction. Sandy Lewis has been up in the Adirondacks for some time, very well known up there, and he's a battler, that's for sure, and he's good enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, sir.
Great to have you with us, and I've been following, and just yesterday I was talking about your success legally. It's a remarkable lawsuit up there, maybe because when the public hears what the circumstances were. You're trying to put up some housing for some of the people that you're nice enough to employ up there. The APA came after you with both barrels firing. Could you, in a nutshell, just tell us what the case was about, how it came about?
Yes, sir, I can do that. But may I please correct what you said just initially?
Sure, if I made an error, sure.
Sandy Lewis was the managing partner, that's me, of S.B. Lewis & Company, which merged American Express and Shearson, among others.
Okay.
These ideas were originated by me at that firm.
Okay.
We were not involved, nor were we accused of being involved, nor was the firm ever involved in insider trading.
I thought you were accused of it.
No, sir. I need to make it clear.
Okay.
Mr. Giuliani, this is all evident at sblewis.net, used a trade which was itself fraudulent. Look at footnote 5 there. It's all there. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Marcus Brackley at the Washington Post, Fred. I mean, there are lots of journalists that know this.
Okay, well, just tell it to us in a nutshell, if you would, because I want to move on to your APA case.
There was no crime.
The federal judge. You did not plead to a crime?
I did plead to a crime.
Okay, so there was a crime.
The pleading, sir, was a fraud. And the pleading was urged upon me at the time. These things happen to people all the time. The jails are full of people who do this. The theory was that under the circumstances with Giuliani on a roll, and that man is a criminal, what we ended up doing was making a horrible compromise, which I regret to this day.
I see, okay.
Mr. Clinton pardoned me on his last day in office. He pardoned me in his last 5 minutes in office. He swore to everybody in sight he would not do so. He did that for reasons that I could go into it some other time, the personal stuff between me and Clinton. But he did pardon me.
Okay.
I have no relationship with a man. I never gave him a dime. So, as regards the situation up here, I'm going to introduce my wife, Barbara. We've been married for 50 years, and she's very much a part of this story. Barbara, would you say hello to Fred, please?
Good morning, Fred, and anybody else.
And good morning, Barbara Lewis, and I enjoy your photographs on your website. They're very fine.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy the farm and taking pictures.
Great. If you could just tell us, if you would, Sandy, just in a nutshell, what your lawsuit was about, what the APA tried to do to you and your wife and your farm.
Okay. In the interest of truth, let me refer you to John Privatera, the lawyer in this matter. He would be able to give you a much better picture of the actual details of the lawsuits. But in substance, the APA took a position that suggested that a farmer cannot house his workers, and they attempted to force that down our throats. And they asserted the right to eternal jurisdiction here on this farm. This is all in the papers at sblewis.com, which is a different site than sblewis.net.
Okay.
Every single document associated with this lawsuit and a previous thrust from the APA in 1998-99, is on that website.
Okay. When did you file your lawsuit challenging the APA? When did you initiate the trial court action?
I believe the Article 78 proceeding came in 2008.
Okay.
This fight started in 2007, and this fight was entirely predictable. You have to understand what's going on up here, Fred. There are several bodies, and they're all linked, either by marriage or by function or both. And it's a shocking situation because, speaking from the Lewis's perspective, we came here because of the APA. We wanted the protection of the APA.
Really?
Yes, we did. And we felt, and we have been substantial contributors to the Nature Conservancy, but it's all part of the same pot. Intermarriage, cross-pollination, it's sick. And the situation has managed to bring in this Attorney General and the last one. Both of these guys are either oblivious or incredibly complicit. The situation is troubling. We desperately need the APA. Mankind needs regulators, honest regulators. But this regulator, this APA, is a rogue agency that's completely out of control. And there are ways to get it back into control, but you won't be able to do it with current management. It's just simply not possible. The governor, as we all know, is blind. The poor guy has stuff read to him. Somebody has to select the material he gets. And the chances of him being reelected, snowball in hell. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Elected. He's never been elected as governor.
Well, exactly. But nevertheless, my mother knew his father, and he's a decent guy, and I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. Having said that, I do not know Cuomo. I did not know his father. I did know Hugh Carey, and I knew him well. Situation here is we desperately need good people in government. And the situation in Raybrook, where APA is in on the same parking lot, the DEC, they're all involved with each other. Yeah. And they're all very troubled. And at the core of this, Fred, and this is shocking, we've been supporters of the Adirondack Council. This is John Sheehan and all kinds of characters. But it's led by a new guy named Brian Reuter.
Right.
Mr. Reuter lives in Scarsdale. He and his wife, Ginny, own an acre on Silver Lake. If you look at the reporting by Will Doolittle of the Glens Falls Post-Star, which was featured by Danny Hakim in his blog article, which preceded his last printed article on us.
Yeah, the New York Times reporter.
Yes, and he featured Will Doolittle. Will Doolittle has done two extraordinary articles about the Leroy Douglas family and the John May family.
Sandy, getting off on a tangent, though, just tell me about what happened with your farm. You tried to build some housing, and the APA said housing for farm workers is illegal?
That's correct.
Why? What was their rationale for that?
They were anxious to make sure that we would regulate this farm and provide them with total jurisdiction over this farm so that everything we would do, and they wanted to back in. What they're really trying to do, Fred, I have to say this,
yeah.
we got to be honest with each other. What the APA wants to do and what their laws permit are two very different things. The APA wishes to extinguish economic activity in the park.
I think that's so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what's going on here, and it's embarrassing and it's ridiculous. The farming statute, the section of the APA statute, obliges them to support farming. But they've attacked this farm, and this is easily the most successful farm in the park. So what they tried to do by trying to, you know, assert their right to control housing here. We can build any number of houses we want to house farm workers. We know that. The APA now knows that, and Judge Meyer enforced that.
So they just said, well, what were you supposed to do with your farm workers? You weren't allowed to put up structures for them? Is that what their claim was, that permanent housing was illegal on your farm?
Yeah, and it's sort of a differential calculus because they don't look anywhere. There are trailers all over the place on farms with no sewage.
Right.
I have neighbors who have trailers, five, six of them at a clip, with no sewage, open sewage. When you report that to the APA and the DEC, and I've done both, farmers who are friends of mine and neighbors but who break the law, I've reported them. I've told this to my neighbors.
Right.
I love my neighbors, I really do, and I do everything I can to help them, but when they break the law, I report them. The APA couldn't care less. They wanted to make an example of this farm, and they've done it twice. And in the first instance, the APA collaborated with a guy named Robert Rosenthal, who was in the Attorney General's office, who out and out lied about a $50,000 contribution we made to Trouts Unlimited in Keene at the urging of Anita Deming of the Cornell Cooperative Extension.
Why was that relevant to anything?
You know, sir, if you live this experience up here, it takes a really patient mind to explain the craziness of these people. I can't explain it. Not in a short radio program like this. But my website does explain
okay.
it. With the facts and only the facts. I have just laid it out in glorious detail. There have been thousands of people who've read it, but I don't know
sure.
who they are. If they go to SBLewis.com, every single document's there.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What did the judge hold, and what was the what was upheld unanimously by the appellate division in terms of the legal interpretation that allowed you to beat the APA? Was it a ruling, a blanket ruling, that the APA
the
could
APA
not regulate
determined,
farming?
It's a very narrow verdict. The APA determined, excuse me, the court determined, the court judge, Richard B. Meyer determined. He's an acting Supreme Court justice. He has okay. a county court's job. He's surrogate family and certain criminal matters. This is a guy who looked at this case coldly and analytically, Judge Meyer, as opposed to the previous judge, a guy named Kevin Ryan, who completely screwed this up. Judge Meyer looked at this and ruled on the facts. And he said that the law provides for farm housing. It's a farm use structure. And that's what he found. The appeals court, APA immediately appealed it. And I think Judge Meyer expected that. He wrote his opinion in a fashion that can only be described as iconic. The last time we've had a jurist up here as good as Judge Meyer, it was learned hand. There hasn't been anybody like this guy in the North Country. He took a look at this stuff. He's taken forever to write his opinions, but when he writes them, they're right. And these opinions have come forward, and they have made settled law. This is now done. Any farmer who wants to house a worker may do so. Comes the question, and it will come, when the farmer goes out of business, what the hell do you do with the houses?
Right.
At that point, they must be registered. If you support, as we do, the laws of the APA, if you're not in farming and you've got a dozen houses on your property and your property, you know, whatever it is, you must register, and there's so many acres per house, it's about 40 acres, and that's it in this particular area, which is called in the green. But, Mr. Dicker, it wouldn't be fair to tell this story without giving the ideology, and I don't know how much time you have.
Well, we only have a few more minutes. I mean,
go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, if I could, about the implications of your decision in terms of the APA now. Are they appealing? Is the Attorney General Andrew Cuomo representing them?
Cuomo is representing them. His office is staffed by a Burianic or something like this, and a Loretta Simon and a handful of other people. There's about 9 attorneys in that office, the way we figure it. God knows what the state spent to prosecute this. If you're asking me at this point, there are 2 decisions that the APA is looking, that the Attorney General and the APA are looking at. The first one came down 2 days ago. That was on the principle, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, the principle of this case. That's decided. They can appeal it if they want. They've got 30 days till March 5th.
Right.
Subsequently, there will be a hearing on the amount of money that will be disposed of in accordance with the principle, and that's principal, P-A-L. Those dollars will be determined by Judge Meyer, and the APA and the Attorney General can appeal that too. But I'm going to make a prediction right here on your program. I'm going to tell you that Andrew Cuomo isn't as stupid as he sounds, and he will not appeal either decision. Why? Because in the first instance, he's already been clobbered in the appeals court 5-0, and he doesn't really like losing. He's trying to run for office. In the second case, even if he had some reasonable quibble, and I don't think he will with Judge Meyer, the cost of appealing the dollars will exceed the dollars he saves. So any intelligent human being, and I assume Mr. Cuomo has some intelligence, will not appeal this case.
Well, precedent is of concern, though, to an AG.
It doesn't make any difference. He's going to lose no matter what happens.
This is
open and shut at this point. This is done. Judge Meyer will not be overturned.
Does he need leave from the Court of Appeals to appeal when there's a unanimous appellate division?
Well, there's 2 different appeal levels. The appellate division.
Hold on for a second, if you would, Sandy. Just let me finish my sentences, okay? Thank you. When you lose on the appellate division level unanimously, I think you need special approval from the Court of Appeals, don't you, to appeal?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear your question. Take it again.
If it was a unanimous decision from the appellate division, which I understand it was, doesn't he need special leave or permission from the Court of Appeals to appeal?
Well, you're asking 2 different questions. In the case that you're referring to where it was 5-0, he could have appealed with leave, but that case is closed because he declined to appeal. This is a second case, and this one involves our recovery of legal or attorney's fees.
I see, okay.
That case has now been decided as well. He can appeal that case. This is 2 days ago. If he appeals the decision that Judge Meyer rendered just 2 days ago, it's on the website.
Okay.
He's got till March 5th to appeal that, which has nothing to do with the initial case. This is only about money.
I see.
We're asking for our attorney's fees back, and this is a law, incidentally, that Joe Bruno put through. And it allows for recovery in certain circumstances. And everybody likes to fight about these things, but at the end of the day, Judge Meyer's rules, and Judge Meyer's decision will be upheld. There's no question about that.
Sandy, who was your lawyer? Let's give the lawyer a plug or the law firm a plug because they did a good job.
John, I mentioned John Privatera earlier.
Yeah,
his number in Albany is 518-447-3337. And I can even give you a cell phone from memory.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right.
But he has an associate named Jacob Lamme, L-A-M-M-E. We also had another associate involved here. She came in with the Farm Bureau, Cynthia Feathers. These three people, working with Liz Drybush and Jeff Kirby at the Farm Bureau, and Bob Summers, Inside Ag and Markets, working for Jerry Cosgrove and Patrick Hooker and Ruth Moore. These were the people who put together the defense. This is not something that we did a little by ourselves up here at the Lewis Farm. We had a lot of help. And we've actually had help from a couple of very good people. I can't name them. I don't want to get them fired, but they're inside the APA.
Good.
So at the end of the day, here's where I stand, and I want to make this clear. Unlike many who would like to see the APA just gutted and disemboweled, I don't want that at all. We need an honest APA. This APA is dishonest. And, sir, we need to say something else. The reason they're getting away with it in Raybrook has a lot to do with what are called 501c3s. Those are charities.
These are the environmental groups?
Yeah, they're charity groups, and we've donated to them. The lead one is Brian Reuter's charity, the Adirondack Council.
Right.
This thing is involved in what I believe to be a criminal proceeding on Silver Lake against at least two people, namely Moses and Douglas. This has been written up by Will Doolittle.
This is a separate issue, though. And let me ask
you this. It is, but it isn't. It's all tied in.
From a big picture point of view, I've made the point repeatedly on this radio show that I think there are extremely wealthy elitist types from the New York City area who have a vested interest in pauperizing the people of the Adirondacks to benefit themselves, their second and third homes, their property ownership. It's a class warfare against working class people in the Adirondacks. What do you think of that?
Mr. Dicker, you're only 100% right. I'm astounded to hear you say it, but I want to make it clear to you. I know who they are.
Tell us.
Well, you can start
Sandy,
with...
Sandy, could I just clarify something from the earlier question?
Sure.
Which is that the APA said that they wished to have us... they wish to require us to get permits from them for these homes. They didn't say we couldn't build them. They said we couldn't build them without the APA's permission and permitting.
And that's what you challenged.
And thereby, and in the future, permitting all future farm housing on all farms in this area and all other buildings
to be subject to permit
on our property.
Right.
And that control is what we fought, because that is illegal. We have the right to do that.
Fair enough.
As farmers.
Fair enough. Sandy, we only have about 4 minutes to go, so can you talk about this plot for pauperization of the people in the Adirondacks, or at least the effort to achieve that?
You're 100% correct, and the lead of this started with Nelson Rockefeller, who was actually a good friend of my dad's and myself. He's a very nice man. He brought in Peter S. Payne, Jr., who runs the Champlain National Bank. Payne sat on the APA board for 20 years. He was executive chair of the executive officer of the Nature Conservancy, and he founded the Adirondack Council. This is his creation. And this guy explained himself to me way back when. I was, I think, maybe 23. I'm 71. This is a long time ago. Now, Mr. Payne is a smart guy. Valedictorian of his class at Princeton. He was at Sullivan and Cromwell's associate.
We only have about 3 minutes.
He ended up at Cleary Gunn.
We only have about 3 minutes, so get to the heart of it, if you would.
The heart of it is you have exactly what you've suggested. Downstate money, crushing the North Country, and using the regulator to do it. And they've formed these charities, and there are a number of them, and one of them, sadly, and you better give them time, is Brian Mann, Ellen Rocco, and Martha Foley at North Country Public Radio. They're in the middle of this. These charities draw money from the same anonymous donors. Sandy and Barbara Lewis have been among these donors. We were solicited by Payne, by the Adirondack Council. Brian Reuter came here and said, if you'll join with me, we will go to Albany, make us a contribution at the Adirondack Council. We'll go down there and talk to Judith Enck. Judith Enck is now history. She works for Obama in New York City.
Right.
But this is a mess, and this mess needs to be cleansed, and Mr. Cuomo is prosecuting the wrong case. The guy sits there and worries about the environment. We share that concern.
Sure.
We're with him on that.
Sure.
The problem isn't the environment. The pendulum has swung. We've got a good environment. We need to keep it that way, and we need the APA. But what we do not need is a differential calculus that ignores the worst polluters, an APA which is run by a corrupt bunch, and many of them are intermarried. I mean, it's crazy. They're married across the same parking lot. I can give you the list. But when you get into the question of how they're picked, how they're chosen, go see the Sierra Club. Go see this environmental mafia that sits down there and thinks to themselves the holier-than-thou type. They wrap themselves in a tree of environmentalism and flag. But you know, sir, there are very good people up here who are desperately poor, and they care just as much about the environment as the supposedly concerned rich folks from downstate. I have been in that group. Yep. We came up here with downstate money. We've invested it in this farm, and we care about this region. This is an important commitment for us. This is the only place we live.
Sandy, I think it's wonderful you and your wife and the people who work for you are up there. We've got to run. We're out of time. Give out your web address one more time for people who'd like to check in with you.
Sir, it's sblewis.com.
Well,
and sblewis.net for the criminal thing that you mentioned earlier. But please understand something. The criminal thing was reversed not by Bill Clinton. I'm proud of his pardon and all the rest of it.
I'm
prouder of Judge Connor's decision, which reversed the federal court
system. Fair enough. We're out of time. Congratulations on your victories in court. Please stay in touch. I'll do the same. Thanks for joining us this morning. We've got to take a break.